Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Gianni.
And I'm Oscar, FPL Focal.
Hey, Oscar. Double game week 25 promised so much. And whilst there's still hope for some of our doublers, it was the single game weekers that grabbed the headlines. Saka's 15, Watkins is 13, Solanke's 12 pointers. Well, they punished the sellers. Whilst popular doublers Jota and Darwin went off injured and Man City attackers blanked. But many invested in Liverpool and City defence too. But it was Arsenal and Brighton, the only teams to register a clean sheet. Oscar, how was game week 25 so far for you?
Yeah, not too bad so far. I'm on 60 points with a minus four. So my ranks actually stayed almost exactly the same. I did activate my triple captain on Haaland. Yeah, as you say, there was so much hope for a huge game week when you've got Liverpool and Man City in particular doubling. Yeah, lots to unpack this week. And you mentioned the Darwin and Jota injuries there. Those were two players that I did have. And Jota was that player I took the minus four hit for as well. So, yeah, a bit frustrating, but I'm relieved they got a return as well, even if they end up missing the Luton game. How are you getting on?
Yeah, similar to you, 57 without the hit. A few weeks back, like you, I lined up Jota and was happy to take a hit to bring him in, knowing he had the double in 25. Pascal Gross was the player I sold, though, and since he's had an 11, a 10, and an 8.
Oh,
so that's slightly disappointing. I think I owned him just for the 2 weeks and he blanked in both. But on paper, I guess it was the right decision. And yeah, unfortunate, because some actually even went there with triple captaincy on Jota. I guess we should speak about triple captaincy because so many went there on Haaland. And we're recording this before Man City play Brentford. But if we look at just that Chelsea game, I mean, on paper, it felt like a good call. Haaland clocked 1.71 XG, 9 shots all in the box against Chelsea. But it just wasn't his day, was it?
No, exactly. As you say, 9 shots all in the box. It's one of those. You have to look at the decision you made and be happy with the call you made, whatever the outcome was. Yeah, I triple captained him for that. And it was unlucky to come away with a blank there. But of course, it's the second game, so we'll have to see. But yeah, of all the players, it was Rodri in the end, wasn't it? With 10 points, he got the goal, Walker assist. Nothing for Haaland, as we say, but also Foden and De Bruyne, who were really popular picks that week.
Yeah, I've gone triple City attack and I've had triple City attack for a while. And Rodri's not one of those three, De Bruyne, Foden, Haaland for me. But he's finding a way this season. Like, he's always had a good shot from distance, but this season, we're seeing him pop up on the edge of the box a little bit more, aren't we? And he's become a bit of a goal threat. I mean, have you ever looked at Rodri as an FPL asset this season? I haven't. I just can't get past the fact that he's the most defensive of the midfielders and therefore his average position's not great. He doesn't come with set piece threat in terms of taking set pieces. And I've kind of always ignored him and seen it as, oh, could that be blocking me from a more exciting third City attacker if I ever want to go there? But his numbers are great.
Yeah, well, this is it. I tend to always swerve defensive mids in FPL for that reason. They tend to sit deeper. There's less chances of attacking returns. But, you know, in sides like Man City and Arsenal, you know, we've seen Rice get some huge scores this season.
Yeah.
Rodri's actually got as many double-digit hauls as Haaland this season. They've both got five. So it just goes to show. But yeah, I'll be honest, I never look at someone like Rodri typically. But they are cheap picks, you know, so fair play if anyone listening went for Rodri.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess the other one, you mentioned Declan Rice, but we'll speak later about Aston Villa and how we might be targeting Villa in 26. But Douglas Luiz has been a very popular asset this year. He obviously comes with similar average positions, but he has the benefit of the penalties and some of the set pieces. Yeah. Elsewhere at City, Oscar, were you surprised? Like, they didn't really look brilliant against Chelsea. And that's twice now. They've drawn against Chelsea this season. We had that 4-4 at the Bridge and then 1-1. And actually, I know Haaland clocked the high XG, but many neutrals would have watched that and thought that was Chelsea's for the take-in. Little disappointed in City. We expected them to turn up in a big way.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's a home game, an opportunity if they win both of these home games in this double to go top of the Premier League. So I was expecting a lot more. Credit to Chelsea, obviously a good result for them as well. I was actually at an FPL meetup in London for it as well. So there was a lot of triple captains active and you could tell who had theirs active in Haaland and who didn't. You know, some people had bench boosted, for example. So it was really divided opinions in the room.
Yeah, I guess you had a lot there that had, like me, Foden, De Bruyne, and maybe some Ake owners. Yes. And they were really wanting some high scoring game and they just didn't get it.
Exactly right, yeah.
So a little underwhelming, but yeah, still hope there. And if we're talking about disappointing teams this game week, one team I'm not invested in, and I'm guessing you are, is Spurs. I've really been hit by not owning Richarlison in recent weeks. So I was delighted to see him blank last time out and again at the weekend against Wolves. He came off at 70 minutes, Richarlison. But again, we spoke about Aston Villa as a team we might target, but Spurs will be one after game week 26. We might target good fixtures. We know they're playing that game week 29, which is likely to be the biggest blank of the season. But it was actually Wolves who really caught the eye in that fixture, right?
100%, yeah. Disappointing blank from Richarlison, but yeah, I can't hate on him too much. He's been very good for me in recent weeks, having picked him up quite a while ago. So I'm more than happy with him. And of course, as you say, they're playing game 29. So there's a lot to like about Spurs there. But yeah, there's a lot to like about Wolves, you know. They're not, of course, guaranteed to play in game 29. We'll have to see what happens after the FA Cup fifth round, which is before game 27. But the likes of Wang, Neto, maybe the Wolves defenders are all catching my eye because, of course, they got Sheffield United home next week as well. Are you looking at any Wolves defenders or are you just kind of playing it safe with teams definitely playing in 29?
I love Ait Nouri. I've been a big Ait Nouri fanboy for a while. and I'm encouraged to see under Gary O'Neill, he's feels nailed in the team, but also he's given complete license to attack. Even when he played in a back four at left back, he looked good. But now he's playing in a back three where he's playing in midfield effectively out wide on the left in three or a five, depending on how you see it. His average position is so, so good. Ait Nouri is also really cheap. So I do like Ait Nouri. I guess my only thing is at the back of my mind, if I'm not looking to use a chip in 29, how am I navigating it with just free transfers? And therefore, should I be buying Aston Villa defenders, for example, who I know have a fixture and are still good? Ait Nouri is definitely on the menu, but I guess so. Well, it's between, there's two midfielders here, Hwang and Neto, that everyone is liking the idea of. Again, we don't know if we get 29, but we talk about entry points a lot. When you buy a player, who do they play that very week? Yeah. Well, the reason Hwang and Neto and Ait Nouri are going to be so popular this week is we're all looking to target Sheffield United. And yeah, both those midfielders, both very attacking. One's got greater goal threat, one's got greater assist threat. Who do you prefer out of them both?
Well, I've got in my notes here that I really want Hwang and Neto. And I've also got in my notes to ask Gianni who he prefers between the two. I'll give my answer and then I'm interested to know what you think. So I prefer Hwang. They are both great picks, don't get me wrong. But this season, Hwang's got 8.77 expected goal involvement. Neto's got 6.89. So Hwang edges it in that sense, a better XG himself. Obviously, they've played different minutes over the season. Neto's had an injury. Hwang went to the Asian Cup. But again, Hwang, 176 minutes per expected goal involvement is better than Neto. So I prefer Hwang. What about you?
I think I just would say Neto edges it for me because of the... I guess, it's one of those. If you're looking at numbers, Hwang edges it. If you're watching games, Neto edges it. And if you're doing a combination of the both, it like for both of us, it's a coin toss. So it's so, so close. Like Neto looks sensational. And when you watch the games, you go, yeah, he's Wolves' best player. Like Wolves would do very well to keep him. The assist threat there is obviously so much higher than Hwang's, but Hwang does come with the penalty appeal and slightly higher goal threat. Minutes, obviously, very similar. I think it might depend on where you feel like you are in your mini league and if you're chasing. Knowing the vast majority, if they're buying one this week, will probably go Hwang because he's the more sensible pick with the penalties and the stats. If you're chasing, you might feel like Neto's a little bit more differential and therefore to go there. I must admit, though, I don't think I'm going to buy either. As much as I love them and I love the fact that, you know, I'm going to be selling Jota this week and I'm going to need a midfielder. And ideally, it's a midfielder cheaper than Jota to save me some money. They seem like perfect replacements. Yeah. I think I'll probably be looking at Aston Villa again, like just like with Ait Nouri, maybe not there going Ait Nouri, maybe not going Hwang or Neto to go maybe Moreno and Bailey. But we'll speak about Villa later. I'm really keen to get into that chat with you. I guess we should just touch on Spurs, though. As a Richarlison owner, you're fairly comfortable and you'll hold him in the blank, will you?
Yeah, although he doesn't have a fixture in game week 26, of course, the plan is to keep hold of him because they've got some nice fixtures after that. And of course, they're one of six teams that are currently definitely playing game week 29. So I'll keep him for now. And likewise, Pedro Porro, who of course missed the game injured, as did Udogie. I'm going to keep him as well because he should be back in time for game week 29. So for now, he's a hold. In fact, I might even add an extra Spurs player in the coming weeks. You know, I'm looking at something like Foden to Son in a week or two.
Yeah, that's going to be a popular move. I'm the same. I would really like either double or triple Spurs midfield going into if I do go 29 without a free hit. And when I look at those Spurs midfielders, it's amazing, really. We've got, you could argue, four very good picks at similar price points. Maddison, Kulusevski scored at the weekend, who we don't often talk about, but maybe we should. Richarlison and Son. And when I look at those four, if I'm only going to own two of them, or even if I do go three, I'm still not sure which ones I go to. Mm. I think Son will probably be my number one. And then I'll be torn between Maddison or Richarlison for my number two pick. Yeah. And it probably depends on form between now and then.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, if you haven't got one of those already, then I'd say Son is best pick, And then it's one of Maddison or Richarlison. And they're very close. I think Maddison's costs a bit more, but, you know, Richarlison playing as a strike out of position and again, extra point per goal. I really like the Richarlison pick myself still. I'm a bit worried that he came off early, though. Obviously, they're back at full strength, Spurs. Mm-hmm. So, it's a bit concerning to see him off about 70 minutes.
When they're all fit, the four guys we've just mentioned, but then you add Brennan Johnson and Timo Werner into the mix, and obviously it's always going to be four that start, and the four that start should be Maddison, Kulusevski, Richarlison, Son. But with when games not go in their way, and you've got the likes of Werner and Brennan Johnson on the bench, you look at the players that are perhaps most vulnerable to substitutions, and Richarlison's definitely top of that list for me. He was getting 90-90-90 when Son was at the Asia Cup, but now Son's back, and we've got those five attackers or six attackers for four spots. I do question if Richarlison hasn't scored in the game, if he'll be first sub a lot, which is the only thing putting me off, I guess. But obviously, when he's scoring goals, you're going to keep him in the 11 at all times.
Yeah, that's my worry as well. But I think if you've got him, you just hold on to him for now. Of course, if you plan to free hit Gaming 29, then you can do whatever you want the next few weeks. You know, you could load up on Bournemouth players for their Dublin 28 just before as well. So chip strategy is quite important at this time of the season.
Yeah, so is. So is. And it feels like we kind of need to commit to that strategy in the next week or two. I'm hoping I can just ease out that decision another week, do my 26 transfers going into 27, then commit to, do I free hit in 29 or not? Have you committed to a strategy, Oscar? And what chips other than triple captain have you used?
I was about to say, so this is where it's really difficult for me because I'm selling Jota for sure. And I'm going to probably sell Darwin for Watkins. And it's just whether to go for Hwang, who I feel is the best midfielder I could possibly buy this week with such a nice fixture. But yeah, I could be leaving myself in a worse position or maybe booking myself into a definite free hit in game week 29. So I'm not sure yet. I might still go for Hwang and just go for what I really think is the best pick. And if I do end up having to free hit game week 29, then so be it, you know, not the end of the world. And that does give you the flexibility to target Bournemouth for their double in 28 rather than Luton. Because, of course, Luton are a bit likelier to play in Game Week 29. So a lot of people are looking to buy Luton players rather than Bournemouth. But I think on paper, Bournemouth have got the much better double game week. So that's another benefit as well. It's just which path do you go down? And perhaps it's a week where you need to decide which way you're going to go down over the next few weeks. So I'm not sure yet, but I think I might go for Hwang, you know.
Oh, nice. I like that. We so often just judge a chip on that particular week. So 29 will go, was it the right decision to free hit or not? But it's not that simple just looking in that week in isolation. It's all the transfers leading up to that week where your strategy might have gone, is it strategy A or strategy B? And that all depends on what chip you're activating in that particular week. So as you say, like, going a player like Hwang allows you to still be flexible, but goes, I want points now. So let's try and bag them with the best pick. And if you think it's Hwang, then you go there. I guess I'm similar with Arsenal because I look at some of the Arsenal players and go, oh, they might not play in game week 29, but actually I've got a third Arsenal spot up for grabs in my team. Right, and I don't have a Saliba or an Odegaard. Both those players I like, and both those players I could transfer one of them in this week because it feels like there's real instant rewards, just like with Wolves, but Arsenal too, like another big scoring game for Arsenal, 5-0 against Burnley. Do you have two or three Arsenal, Oscar? I know you're an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same as you. So I've got Saka, I've got Saliba, not Gabriel. So you've got Gabriel, not Saliba. So we're in basically the same boat there. So yeah, there's an option to add another defender. You could add Odegaard, for example. Lots of ways to go. But yeah, I'm glad I kept Saka. Obviously, frustrating if you sold him for someone with a double game week, especially in someone like Jota. And he goes on to get a brace as well. And Saka is just unbelievable right now. 5.05 at XGI over the last four game weeks, which is top in the league. 49 points over that run. Also top in the league. Arsenal just absolutely firing all cylinders at the moment.
I think I look at it and go, I was so twitchy three, 4 weeks ago on Saka. I was really close to selling him. I'm just so grateful that I didn't make that decision. And I guess I got slightly lucky that we were rewarded there. And Saka is, you know, one of the two, three most highest owned players in the game for a reason. Those that a month or so ago did go double Arsenal defence, though, they're big winners in this. Like recently, yeah. we looked at it and go, Arsenal are clearly the best defence in the league. Another clean sheet at the weekend. Gabriel and Saliba both offer a bit of goal threat. And actually, if you've gone with those two guys, I think you're absolutely laughing now. I wish I'd made that move a while back. And as a Porro seller last week, I was 0.1 short of going Porro to Saliba, which just made so much sense.
Yeah,
so I ended up going down, you know, to a Luton defender to save some money. But yeah, Saliba and Gabriel feel like probably the optimal Arsenal trio would be those two with Saka. And maybe if you've still got a spot left, Odegaard is still worth consideration because he impressed at the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, two assists. Yeah. He's absolutely flying at the moment. Yeah. And as you say, like 10th clean sheet of the season for the Arsenal defence now. Absolutely flying. There's just so much value there. It's incredible. I think next season we're going to be paying, you know, like 10 mil for Saka. And we might be looking at 6 mil for Gabriel and Saliba. So enjoy them, you know, while they're discounted.
Yeah, good point. I mean, the fixtures are pretty useful for Arsenal coming up as well. Like, I think Newcastle at home, we have to probably change our thinking of the Newcastle defence. That's a good fixture for Arsenal goals. Then it's Sheffield United away, Brentford at home. Like, it's a nice three games, then Chelsea at home in the derby. But yeah, it's one, if you've got that spot available, maybe again, without looking thinking too much about a blank in 29, you just go, who's going to get me the most points now? Do I jump on a third Arsenal player? And I must admit, I am tempted on, I think Odegaard as a Jota seller. The thing that concerns me, I guess, with Odegaard, Oscar, keen to get your point of view as an Arsenal fan, is I just sometimes worry that the chances he gets are always fairly low XG. Like when he gets his goals, they're often from really good finishing, often from the edge of the box or from a tight angle, which means he doesn't get that many big chances, like say a Saka or a Martinelli. But when he does get chances, he's an elite finisher. We saw that from last season.
Yeah, 100%.
How do you view him as an FPL pick? He's clearly not in the same, quite at the same level as Saka as an FPL pick, but do you still put him up there as a really good pick for his price or perhaps slightly too expensive for what you get?
Yeah, it's difficult. He's not cheap, that's the thing. And Saka is definitely a level above. And the other problem is there's so many options in midfield this season that it's difficult to find room for them all. So I think he's a great pick. I'm not sure if I'll be getting him myself. I think I prefer going double defence. Or Raya, for example, a defender, and then Saka. I think I prefer that. There is the penalties factor. If I'm not mistaken, I think at one point Odegaard had the ball in his hand when they won the penalty, and I was watching it like, oh no. And then he gave the ball to Saka, right? So then that's the thing. It could go either way of penalties, but I think I prefer Saka and then double defence.
It's become fashionable that. Like we've seen a few trends. It's a bit like last season we saw the trend of lying behind the wall to stop the block if the wall jumps. A new trend this season is hold the ball at penalties and then pass it to the penalty taker so the keeper can't think too much about who's taking it and has to second guess. Yeah, we've seen that a bit, I think, at Chelsea and definitely at Arsenal.
If only they got an assist for that when they hand the ball to the actual taker. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? If you've got Odegaard and Saka.
Love that. Yeah. It'd be like back in the day when, again, at Arsenal, was it Pires and Henry that took the penalty to the other one?
Yeah, I think it was.
And then missed.
Yeah, yeah, rolled it to the side and missed anyway. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Not surprised we haven't seen that since. Bit of a fail.
No. Yeah, I'm not even sure that's allowed anymore. I think that'd go down as a missed pen, wouldn't it, as well, if you passed it. So you'd get the missed pen points and you get the assist points if they scored it. Yeah.
Yeah. Ouch. Love that. Luton 1, Man United 2 was a good game, that Super Sunday game. Did you watch it? I mean, I felt like that game was really fun. Like United scoring twice early and then Luton just becoming the dominant force in that team and almost out-footballing United from 2-0 down, getting the one, looking like they could have got the two, but just didn't quite have that cutting edge in the final third. But really good game. And I guess my takeaway from that is, sure, United have got good forwards that perhaps we need to give a little bit more time to in FPL. Hoyland, Garnacho caught the eye. But also that Luton, if you look at all the teams at the bottom of the league, Luton are the team at the bottom that you go, they can score goals any given game. And goals are our currency in FPL. And therefore, Luton players with a double game week coming up in 28, I think could still be on our radar.
100%. Yeah. And again, more bad luck with injuries. If you had Adebayo, he was such a great pick in hindsight going into the game week. And I think he got injured in the warm-up, so that's really unlucky. But yeah, the opposite side, Hoyland with a brace. Crazy the form he's found. It's great to see, though. After 14 games, he went without a goal. He's got 55 points in his last six games, 7 goals and 2 assists. And as you say, Garnacho got the assist for one of them. That was his 8th return of the season. Just 5 mil, Garnacho. So he's a tempting pick.
Yeah, he could have had a big point haul, Garnacho. I think he missed that one-on-one, didn't he? I think he missed another fairly big chance. So on another day, Garnacho owners walk away with double digits. And when I look at that United attack, whilst Hoyland's definitely caught the eye in producing, he occupies one of only three attacking or forward spots. It feels like there's only two forward spots now. With Haaland back in the game, it's like, okay, we can only have two of Solanke, Watkins, Tony, Hoyland. There's a few. In midfield, it feels like it's a little bit easier to cater for, say, a Garnacho, who also is a couple of million cheaper. So that United attack, do we look at and go, we jump onto now because they are scoring goals, or do we just think there's still perhaps better options out there? I think I'm quite cool on it. I think I won't be going to United attack just yet, despite them now looking a bit more free-flowing.
I suppose, again, it's one of those. It depends what your plan is in Game Week 29, because Man United could blank then. But if you've already conceded, I'm definitely going to free hit that week, then you could certainly go to Hoyland, especially if you've got a forward you want to sell, like João Pedro, Archer, someone like that who's just not doing it recently. They've got some nice fixtures. They've got Fulham home next game week. Game week 27, they do face Man City away, so that's not an easy game, of course. Game week 28, they've got Everton home. And then it really depends in game week 29. You could get lucky and that game goes ahead, and that's Sheffield United home. Yeah. So that's three home games in the next four. So he's definitely on the watch list for me, Hoyland. But yeah, I think there's a few other forwards that I'd prefer at the moment, like Watkins, Tony, and of course Haaland.
Yeah, I know the guys on the FPL pod, I think Ian in particular, has been raving about Doherty in recent weeks. Again, he caught the eye against Man United. He only got the one pointer, and actually, so often the case this season, he has had a fair few one pointers. I brought him in this week, and as soon as you buy a player in and then you watch the game, you do watch the game differently. It's like you're watching it with one eye completely on the game and the other eye just on your FPL asset, and you're watching his every movement. But I thought Doherty was brilliant again. And if Adebayo had been on the pitch, I would have expected more from Doherty in terms of, I think he was just looking for that number nine to hit. And he knows Adebayo so well. They've combined well for a few goals this season. So unfortunate for Doherty owners that Adebayo did get injured in the warm-up. But his set-piece threat is so, so good. But his open play crossing from that left is so dangerous that I think, again, looking at the next few weeks, Doherty is still a good own. Even though you never back Luton for clean sheets, I don't think that matters. He is going to get attacking returns. And he's so advanced. He's probably the most creative player in that Luton team from left wing back. And, you know, Ross Barkley also had a great game.
I think he's got 8 attacking returns this season, you know, which is as many as Pedro Porro. So yeah, he's another one definitely on the watch list for me. I might be picking him up for that double game week in game week 28. Of course, it's a blank in 26 now, so no rush. And hopefully Adebayo's injury is not serious, because Doughty, he's the one that he's often looking to aim his crosses and set pieces at for that aerial threat.
Yeah, 7 assists and a goal this season, and he's under 10% owned. So he still feels like a little bit of a differential just because he plays for a unfashionable club in Luton. So yeah, I really like that move still.
I think one player that also deserves a mention is Barkley.
Yeah.
He's been immense this season. What a signing. And he was very, very impressive again. You know, at this point, I'm starting to wonder if he somehow makes his way into the England squad. He's been that good this season. And he's another one that I am looking at as a potential transfer in game at 28. What do you think about Barkley?
Yeah, I think he was player of the match. That is so, so good. He's thriving in this environment at Luton. I wonder if he likes being the kind of main man at a slightly smaller club, and he's stepped up into that role. Like, he's the driving force in that midfield. And I did wonder a couple of weeks back if he was playing a little too deep. He was still getting assists, but he was fairly deep in midfield, like usually first receiver, always got the game in front of him. And he's always got loads of runners at Luton. He'll look forward and he's got Adebayo and Morris to hit. He's then got Ogbeni on the right, Doherty on the left. Like, he's got four good options always to find that pass. But when watching closely against Man United, I realised, okay, he's not just sitting deep. He's actually completely all action, box to box. And against Man United, he got into some good positions. And obviously, he could have scored late on with that header as well. So I really like him. He's only 2% owned. Like, proper differential.
And 5 mil. So cheap as well. Yeah, I think it's a great pick. Really under the radar. Definitely one I'm considering.
Yeah, I think Luton will get a lot of love going into game week 28, obviously, with their double, if, of course, they have that fixture in 29 as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, I agree, though. Bournemouth do, we mentioned earlier, have that even better double, but we wait and see on those fixtures off the back of the fifth round of the FA Cup. One player we sold en masse last game week, well, actually, two. Solanke and Watkins were amongst the most sold players last game week, and both of them returned big. Watkins got 13 points. Like, he just feels like a long-term hold. And I've sold him this season and bought him back a few weeks later, and he punished me in between. And he looked so good against Fulham. He could have actually had even more points. Like, Moreno's goal was ruled out by inches, and that would have been a Villa, that would have been a Watkins assist. And I think he maybe had another big chance or two. So two goals, three bonus points, 13 points. Happy Watkins owners.
Yeah, I sold him a couple of weeks ago for Darwin. And basically, I was just hoping Darwin would do better than Watkins. I wasn't expecting Watkins to blank. But yeah, in the end, Watkins, I think, scored one or two more points than Darwin has over that run. So it was a mistake, that punt, but it is what it is. I'm looking to reverse that mistake now, and I'll probably get Watkins straight back in for game week 26. But they've got a nice fixture this week. And yeah, it's whether to go Huang, as I said earlier, or consider one of the midfielders. I think it has to be Lewis or Bailey, right? If you're going to go for a Villa midfielder. Do you have a preference?
I think I like Leon Bailey just because I like that average position so much. He's so high. When you look at the Aston Villa touch maps, he's kind of, he's like a Mo Salah, right? He's the highest player on the pitch. He's fairly wide on the right. The concern with Bailey is he won't often play 90, and he's got Diaby breathing down his neck for a spot in that 11. Diaby was a big money signing who Emery surely wants to get in his 11. But what he's seen is when he plays Diaby and Bailey together, just doesn't work. So it's one or the other. And at the moment, it's Bailey's place to lose because he's been playing so well. I like the fixtures. I also like the fact that Aston Villa are really underrated, I think, in attack. So when you look at the last four game weeks and you just take big chances in the last four game weeks, well, Aston Villa are top of the charts. They've produced 16 big chances. Arsenal 15, Brentford 15, Liverpool 15, and Brighton and Everton at 14. So Aston Villa are getting the big chances. And when they do, I expect Watkins and Bailey to often be the two on the end of them. So for the price point, for the attacking nature, for the fixtures, I've really got my eye on Leon Bailey as my Jota replacement.
Yeah, I'm struggling to separate the two. Bailey, 7 goals, 7 assists this season. Luiz, 7 goals, 4 assists. So a few more returns for Bailey. But yeah, it's close because Luiz has got the set pieces. He's got the penalties. Bailey is the more attacking player in general, but as you said, he doesn't play the 90 often. I think he's actually played 90 once all season.
Wow.
And he has been benched in 2 of the last 12. So that's not bad. He pretty much starts all games. So it's difficult to separate the two, but I do think Bailey's the more explosive pick. So perhaps he makes a bit more sense. But I think they're very close, to be honest with you.
I looked at the Kamara injury and wondered, oh, does Douglas Luiz therefore drop deeper into the Kamara role? So I was really, it was good to see for those that might want to buy Luiz. Actually, it was John McGinn that played slightly deeper. They pretty much played alongside each other. But when John McGinn's been playing in midfield with Kamara, it's Kamara sitting, McGinn more advanced. But without Kamara in the team, who was out long term, they've both sort of got a little bit more defensive responsibility, but actually it doesn't affect Luiz too much, but it does affect the McGinn average position. So I think McGinn now is probably a swerve. I guess you could argue Ramsey is a budget option in midfield that's now getting starts. Again, he's shown us in the past he's a good finisher, but for me, it will come down to Bailey or Luiz. And I'm pretty sure it will be Bailey if I go to Aston Villa. The only reason I guess I don't buy Bailey is if I go, no, let's commit to who perhaps doesn't play in 29 and just pick that third Arsenal player in Odegaard or go to a Huang at Wolves or a Neto at Wolves. I'm still a little bit cloudy in my thinking, but I think Bailey's most likely as my Jota replacement. And for you, you think it's Huang, do you, Oscar?
I think so, yeah. I'm going to see, I'm going to sleep on it, I think, and decide later this week, but I'm really tempted by Huang. I just think Sheffield United is such a team to target. But yeah, if I was going for a Villa midfielder, I think it would be Bailey. But yeah, you make a good point there actually on Kamara's injury and Lewis's role seemingly not too affected there. Do you think that puts that should deter us from the Villa defence, though, given they've got Kamara out, they've got Konsa out, they've got Diego Carlos out? That's three big injuries. And of course, Mings has been out long term as well. Would you swerve the defence, or is there someone worth looking at there?
I don't know. The injuries should make me swerve the defence. And then I saw the highlights of Pau Torres playing against Fulham and just went, Aston Villa have got themselves a star there. Like, Pau Torres would look comfortable playing for Man City. And he was spraying the ball left and right. He's does really well in the bonus points. Him back to fitness is a huge boost to Aston Villa's defence. But of course, it's a depleted defence with a lot of injuries elsewhere. But Pau Torres is a good own, I think. And I've also got my eye on Moreno for upside. Like, I know he hasn't been producing too many attacking returns this season, Moreno, but he did have a goal ruled out for offside against Fulham, which was so, so close. And he does get into good positions. I guess my concern with Moreno, a bit like with Bailey, is he's got a really good replacement breathing down his neck for a spot in the 11. And Luka Dean's obviously great, but Moreno was brought in to be first choice.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, I think if I had to pick between the two, I'm a bit of a boring manager with this kind of stuff. I might go Powell just to be safe. Because you would hate to get to some your game week 29, for example, and you're trying to scrape a team together and Dina starts, you know, like that could happen. So I like Powell just because he's definitely completely nailed. Moreno, of course, is the higher upside pick, but there is that rotation risk a little bit.
Yeah,
I suppose cash is a bit of an option as well, but we have to be wary of Konsa's potential return date, which I don't think is too far away. It could be a couple more weeks until Konsa's back. So I think I'd avoid cash for that reason, but he's okay to hold for now if you've got him already.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. Pau Torres does feel a little bit safer than Moreno. I could see myself buying double Aston Villa this week, which seems crazy that because it wasn't necessarily a team I was that really invested in, but I've got Estupinan and I feel like Estupinan is now a sell. My worst buy of the season, Oscar. It's been painful. they obviously won 5-0 against Sheffield United. Estupinan got, I think, came on in the 81st minute.
I've got him as well, Gianni.
So do we take the hit? Do we just go, let's sell him now because over time we'll earn those 4 points back because he's not on the pitch? Or do we think he could come back into the 11?
I mean, I can't even get 11 players together this week. I did have Pinnock and Pinnock's picked up this injury. So at the moment, I think I've got 8 players. So I'm looking at 10 after a -4. Yeah. So I haven't got the luxury of looking at what to do with Estupinan. So I'm going to have to just hope that he's back in the starting 11. And yeah, the clean sheet as well with him on the bench is just even more frustrating. He was at fault for Tottenham's late winner the week before. So perhaps it was just his punishment for that. We've seen De Zerbi do that sort of thing before. So that could have been a bit of a warning and he'd be back in the 11. Or maybe I'm deluded, but that's what I'm hoping happens. But 5-0 Brighton against Sheffield United.
Oscar, could I convince you to... I mean, I would like you to say yes, because then it might encourage me to do it because I'm still on the fence. But like you, with a 4-point hit, I'm getting 10 players out. With an 8-point hit, which includes selling Estupinan, I get 11. Would you be tempted? Because if you are, I think maybe I am too. Like, I have looked at maybe selling Estupinan for an additional hit. It feels like a 2-point hit and not a 4-point hit because you'll get the appearance points of a Moreno or a Torres that comes in. I mean, he's in 1 in 4 teams, Estupinan. There's 26% of managers out there with a similar predicament to us. Do we look at just taking the hit and going over time, that hit pays off?
I don't think I'd do it myself. Gut feeling is says that he comes back into the starting 11 against Everton. Yeah. I think De Zerbi's going to see that as a much tougher fixture than Sheffield United. So that's my gut feeling. I don't think I'd take a hit to sell Estupinan this week. In my case, it's a bit easier because I've got Pinnock, who's injured anyway. So that's where I'm looking to maybe take a -8. But I think I would swerve a hit to sell Estupinan myself.
Yeah, it might come down to a De Zerbi press conference. And if he gets asked about Estupinan and see what he says, he's one of those managers that's really good for FPL in press conferences. He usually says it how it is. At times, he pretty much tell you who he's starting if he's asked the right questions. So we'll look out for that with Estupinan. He's really built Estupinan up in about a month ago. I'm sure I saw an interview with De Zerbi when he was saying just quite how good he is, how he's sort of right there, top tier. So we know on paper he's in that Brighton best 11. Of course he is.
100%.
He should be their
first choice left centre back or left wing back, left back, depending on the system they use. He should be. So that's my feeling. Maybe it was because of the week before. He didn't track Johnson's run and then Spurs went on to get that late winner. So I think it may have been because of that. So that's what I've convinced myself anyway, that he starts against Everton. So I'm keeping him. But yeah, Matoma, 2 assists, Adingra, 2 goals. That was Adingra's first minutes since game week 18. And his biggest score of the season as well. Are you looking at either of them?
I don't think I am necessarily, but I do like Brighton players and I've been invested there a lot this season and no doubt I'll be going back. Maybe it'll be one for the wild card. But I always think with Brighton, they're a team that offers really big ceiling. Like they can go and produce these 5-0 wins or they can go and score big. And when they're clicking, they look really good. And I think the wide men are so important to the system. Like Adingra and Matoma haven't been around and then they come back into the 11 and Brighton go and score 5. Like the wide men in that system are so, so good. And Brighton have been unfortunate. Like Solly March has been out injured for a long time. Ansu Fati's been out injured. Adingra and Matoma both with their international teams. So it's great for Brighton to see them back. And the attack now looks like it's functioning so much better.
Yeah, fully agree with that. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll be picking up any more Brighton assets right now, but yeah, I started the season with a Stupinian and Mitoma, so I can see myself going back there later in the season, perhaps, when Brighton have a double game week, which they probably will much later on.
Yeah, I think I'm similar there. What about Liverpool? We haven't spoken about them much, and obviously Liverpool with a double game week in 25, but a blank in 26. Did we always go into this week knowing, yes, we might be buying Liverpool players, but there's a very good chance in 26 we'll be selling those same players? Regardless of injuries, I was probably looking at selling Jota and Darwin anyway. So unfortunate with limited minutes over the double, but the fact that we have to sell them isn't necessarily a surprise.
Yeah, I don't mind in a really high upside double game week, which on paper this was, I don't mind the hokey-cokey where you hop onto a player like Jota or Darwin, or of course the Man City assets. In their case, they've got a game in 26 and you sell them the week after.
Yeah,
I think ordinarily that's a bad way to spend transfers, but it was definitely an opportunity and that was what I was looking to do this week. I brought in Jota for a -4. So as it's played out, that actually wasn't a good decision, but that's because of an injury. So that's kind of unlucky. Likewise, anyone else that brought in Josh or Darwin, of course, he didn't make it to past the halfway mark last match. But yeah, Salah came on earlier than planned because of the Jota injury. The reports suggest he was only meant to get the last 20 or so. Mm. One goal, one assist off the bench. Fair play if anyone picked up Salah.
As soon as Salah came on, like, of course, as FPL, like with FPL interest, even if you don't own him, you're watching his every movement. And I think within minutes of Salah being on, they had a counter attack. And I watched Salah and he wasn't going at it 100%. Like he was running from box to box and wasn't going. And I thought, oh, that looks like a guy who's shouldn't necessarily be straight on the pitch. Right. And as you say, the plan was probably for him to get more limited minutes, but Klopp's hand was forced. But hamstrings you've got to be so careful with. And Liverpool have been unfortunate. You know, Jota's injuries of late, you know, he's only been back in the team, you know, 5-6 weeks. Trent, recurrence of the same knee injury. So I do look at Liverpool and go, oh, will they continue to be a good FPL team if they're so sparse in terms of numbers? And again, many have been investing in Liverpool defenders of late. Even the Trent sellers, many went to say a Van Dijk or a Robertson or a Bradley. But at the moment, regardless of who's on the pitch, they don't necessarily look like a team that are going to keep many clean sheets. Alisson, of course, out injured as well.
Yeah, I brought in Van Dijk as well. And I didn't expect a clean sheet, if I'm honest, against Brentford. It's more the Luton game. I was hoping for something. And there's that small chance of an attacking return as well. Again, I was at the FPL meetup in London and there was that late corner. And I was like, oh, if Van Dijk scores this, and of course he was on the end of the corner and he hit the crossbar. So there is that small chance of an attacking return with Van Dijk. And really a shame though, the Trent injury, because that was the transfer I made and it's very sideways, but of course Trent injured. So I had to go. I think Van Dijk made a bit more sense because at least I could expect him to start both, not guaranteed. Of course, Bradley started, super budget enabler. He's been really good recently. But I thought, I don't know if he gets the Luton game as well. Because, of course, they've got the League Cup final as well a few days after Game Week 25 wraps up. So it's hard to predict what's going to happen in that Luton game. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have Jota, Darwin or Salah for that one, you know.
Yeah,
Diaz, Gakpo, Elliott, front three, something like that.
Yeah, there'll be managers out there that perhaps own a Gakpo and weren't expecting too many minutes, but just thought they'll roll the dice. Now, they might get a lot of minutes and points, obviously, with a goal at the weekend as well. I look at Liverpool with Van Dijk and go, even when they're not keeping clean sheets, he's a good pick just because of that goal threat you mentioned. And I think this season has shown me that it's the season of the centre-back. And so many years gone by, it's been the season of the full-backs in FPL. We look at years gone by where we've had Trent and Robertson, Cancelo, Reece James, all clocking big, big points. Alonso. This season, there's been very few full-backs producing big returns. And actually, it's Gabriel, Saliba. You know, you look at Van Dijk, who might be just more reliable sources there of points. So, yeah, interesting one to monitor and how that perhaps is shifting in FPL this season. And maybe next year it's back to fullbacks mopping up the points again. Other headlines of the week, Oscar, we've not mentioned. You mentioned that maybe Watkins was a bit of a okey-cokey pick for you, a sell and buy back. I did the same with Solanke. And again, big points for Solanke. So I'll be buying Solanke for Darwin next week. And not a great use of my transfers to sell and buy back, but I just didn't expect him to necessarily go and pick up, you know, double digits against Newcastle. But he's clearly a great own. And I think everyone's going to want him For 27, he's got a good fixture. And then 28, he's got a great double. So everyone's going to be going to Solanke soon, aren't they?
Yeah, it's unfortunate they've got City this week, because I suppose a lot of people like yourself are looking to sell Darwin, and it's who you go to. I've already got Solanke, so in my case, it's Watkins I'm looking to bring in. I actually fancied him to get something in this one. Newcastle, you know, over the last six game weeks, 17.65 expected goals conceded, which is worse than the league. Incredible, considering how good they were last season defensively. So, yeah, I fancied him to get something there. And I actually benched Gordon for him as well, which was quite a scary choice, that one. And, of course, Gordon got a penalty, right? He scored from the penalty spot with no Isak or Wilson in the team. So, in the end, it was about 4 points gained, but it all counts. One goal, one assist for Solanke. I think we all need to have a plan to get him if you haven't got them already for that double in 28. Sheffield United home, Luton home. Incredible double that. It's about as good as doubles come, I would say.
Yeah, he'll be the popular captain choice that week. And yeah, you're right on Newcastle defence. Like, we should have seen it coming. Solanke points against Newcastle, who have just been so poor. They've been so leaky. And West Ham are another team. Like, historically, we look at David Moyes teams and go, they'll be pretty good at the back. And there's a reason many of us would own, say, an Areola. But both West Ham and Newcastle have been so disappointing of late. And maybe we're not targeting like we target Sheffield United. But I think when we see our players playing against West Ham and Newcastle, we go, yeah, we want to play these guys, or we want to buy them in. And that's, again, why I think Arsenal this week could be a popular move to go to, say, an Odegaard, because I see Arsenal goals against Newcastle there.
I do as well. Yeah, especially based on recent underlying numbers. So I suppose that lends credence to going back to the earlier point, looking at Odegaard. But yeah, I definitely see goals in that one. And I think Arsenal are going to feel they want some revenge after what happened in the reverse fixture, right?
Yeah, definitely. Final point, just in general, Oscar, on chips, because we both mentioned we're going to struggle to field an 11 in game week 26 and probably both be on minus fours, maybe even considering minus eights to get 11 men out. Is that something in blank game weeks, if it means not using a chip, but you're also complementing your team moving forward, you would encourage? I mean, I've only taken maybe 2-3 hits maximum, I think, this season, but I've no doubt I'll be taking one or two this game week alone, because I'm happy calling it a 2-point hit. I just look at the appearance points and go, I'm going to call it a 2-point hit. And as long as I'm buying players that are reliable for those 2 points, you know, not bad defenders that are going to concede loads of goals, then I think I can justify it in my head.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. I've only taken, I think, 2 or 3 hits all season. I'm definitely taking at least one this week. And as the old cliche goes, as you said, in a blank game week, a hit for someone is a minus two in a way, if you're selling someone that's not going to play at all. As long as their floor is 2 points, then it's basically a minus 2 point hit, as we like to say. But yeah, I would be careful with the defenders. I'm not sure if I'll be getting someone like Pau Torres, because all it takes is one goal conceded and suddenly that hit's not paid back. So yeah, the two moves I'm looking at is Watkins and then someone like Huang, or maybe Bailey or Louise, someone like that who could get an attacking return to repay that hit and then some.
Nice. I like that. Well, good luck for the rest of this week and next. I look forward to seeing your team. And if we both went with a Stupinan in our 11, and we can pray for those starts, because it's a 50-50 that one.
Best of luck in the rest of Double Game Week 25, everyone, especially if you've got your triple captain or another chip active this week. Kelly, Jules, Sam and Ian will be back on Thursday as we look ahead to Blank Game Week 26.
If you haven't already done so, do join the FPL Pod Mini League. The code is IB3WLK.
Thanks for listening. See you soon, everyone.
See you, guys.